ball of blue tape. What does it mean to you? What does it represent? To some, it may represent or mean separation, a time in which we were separated from one another. Some of us are accustomed to sitting one right behind the other in rows, and every other row has been marked off for a while. That blue tape caused a separation. For others, they might look at that same blue tape and see safety. Safety from the spreading of the virus. For some, it's security. Not security from others, but security for self. Then there might be one who looks at the ball of blue tape and they see that tape as it was on our pews, and they would see restriction. Oh, they're probably a hugger. They wanted to give some hugs, but the tape kept them from getting close enough to give a hug at times. For some, they see the blue tape and it speaks of a disconnect. We've been somewhat distant from one another for a time, and sometimes distance and time creates a disconnect in the lives of one another. But for others, they'd look at the blue tape and they'd think about protection. The protection that we needed. The protection at the time. So that we could all come together again at a time such as this. Humanity loves to celebrate. We celebrate the birth of a child. We celebrate children going off to preschool and kindergarten. We commemorate our students and their achievements along about the eighth grade with awards night and their senior year with graduation. We have wedding celebrations that recognize the covenant dedication made between two individuals and God. Celebrations are not only important in our lives, they're important in our faith as well. An overview of the Old Testament will quickly find that God gave Israel certain feasts and festivals for celebrating. The shepherds, the wise men, and the angels celebrated the birth of Jesus with gifts and songs and worship. Jesus gave Christians the Lord's Supper for celebrating the memorial of his death. Then the Revelation speaks about the wedding of the Lamb and the wedding feast of Abraham that will be a future celebration for all of God's people. All these celebrations bring to mind a great celebration that took place in Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12. We've been talking about for some time how I was ready for Larry to be able to come in here and tear up the blue tape and us be able to celebrate. And now the blue tape has been taken up and it's time for us to celebrate. But I want us to look at Nehemiah chapter 12 because the Israelites there have a great celebration. It's a great celebration when they are dedicating the wall that has been rebuilt. Israel's celebration teaches us many principles about celebrating and about praising God and about the dedication that one needs to give to God. If you look there in Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27, it says, "Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving, and with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres." Israel had set up a time of celebrating the Lord's faithfulness. Some had returned back to Jerusalem. But they found Jerusalem, or at least the temple and the walls, in need of repair. But as they worked to rebuild those walls, they set up a time, looking forward to when things would be completed again. A time in which they could celebrate. And they would celebrate with the intention of encouraging one another. Maybe even bringing about a renewed focus and be reminded of the joy that they have in the Lord. You know, married couples set special dates and special trips, sometimes to rejuvenate their relationship. At other times, maybe to revive or to restore their relationship. And we may need to do that at times in our relationship with God. Take a retreat. Take some time away from all the social media and all the news. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in worship. Spend time in thanksgiving to God. Celebrating God's goodness, as Jeff spoke this morning. Celebrate some of the successes that have taken place. And then simply to give thanks to God. God's faithfulness can be celebrated in many ways. So we need to prepare to celebrate. Israel dedicated the wall of Jerusalem to God. Last week when Larry finished taking up the tape, he made this ball. And as I saw him coming down the short hallway into the office area, my mind went, ball, wall. The ball, what does it mean to you? The wall meant something to the people of Jerusalem. The wall meant something to them, not only on a personal level, in connection with their city, but it meant something to them in relation to their God. So they dedicated the wall to God. Everything we do should be dedicated to the Lord. Everything we do should be done for His glory. The time we took away, the time we had the tape up, was for His glory. Now it has come down. It's done for His glory. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 21 or verse 31, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Paul also taught in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men." We celebrate things that we are dedicated to. A student might celebrate good grades because they dedicated themselves to working for those good grades. We celebrate someone's life because we are in some way connected to them. We ought to celebrate God because we are connected to God. And because we dedicate our lives to working for Him and for His cause. We need to find ways to dedicate our lives and everything we do to God. Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 27 tells us that the Levites were brought to Jerusalem so that they might celebrate with gladness or joy. The leaders of Judea, or the leaders of Judah rather, were called to help in leading the celebration in verse 31. By the leaders leading with joy, everyone else was affected. Notice verse 43. "And on that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced because God had given them great joy. Even the women and children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar." How far across this great land will the people hear of our joy in celebrating what God has done over the last year? The people of Israel were very responsive to their leaders leading them with joy. It caused a great celebration, and it went out beyond Jerusalem. One result of the joy that was experienced in Jerusalem was that the people gave the portions of dues. Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 47. They gave the portion of the dues to those who should receive the dues. The singers and the gatekeepers, to the Levites and to the sons of Aaron. Another result was that the people read the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse number 1. As a result of them then reading the Word of God, the people separated themselves from the foreigners. Think of those foreigners as unbelievers. Nehemiah 13 verse 3, because they read the law, they obeyed the law, and the law instructed them to separate from these unbelievers, from others who had for a time led Israel away from God, they were now to separate from. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up bones." The leaders of Israel got excited. Their joy then affected everyone else's commitment to God. Have you considered the joy that our leaders have in saying we can come together again and meet in person? David, a great leader in the nation of Israel, is mentioned 6 times in this narrative. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 24, verse 36, 2 times in verse 37, once in verse 45 and once more in verse 46. David led the people with great joy. And as an excited leader, it affected all the people. Has our response to the pandemic been one of joy and encouragement to those who lead us? Has the response to the pandemic by Billy and David and George and Keith and Larry, Ronnie, even Jeff and myself, has our response to the pandemic been one that has encouraged you, that has helped you, that has brought joy to your life? Has our words to these men who lead us been words of encouragement or discouragement? Have our actions toward their decisions been actions that encourage or actions that discourage? You see, joy is like a medicine that cheers others up and draws them into the same celebration. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 13 says, "A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken." The term translated cheerful in our English versions is a word that means to go well with, to please, or to be agreeable. A happy heart makes the face agreeable. A happy heart is contagious. It puts a smile on your face, but a smile on your face puts a smile on someone else's face. It's contagious. We can even see the joy of others behind the mask when we see their eyes. We can see the joy they have. Our joy, our celebration will encourage the faith of others. It will encourage them to be faithful to the Lord. So we need to lead those around us with joy. The Levites were sought out, verse 27. Along with them, the singers from the district around Jerusalem, verses 28 and 29 of Nehemiah 12. Also the leaders of Judah And they formed two great choirs, verse 31. Also the women and children, verse 43. And they all joined in together in worship. They all joined in together in this celebration. Nothing can take the place of corporate worship. There's nothing else like it. We were thankful to be able to worship together virtually, but it's not the same. Being together in person, together with other Christians, to worship God together and to lift our voices together in praise, there's nothing else quite like it. The Israelites all came together from all over Israel to celebrate. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 teach that gathering into a worship community is necessary for stirring up love and good works or good deeds and for finding encouragement. Do we need these benefits in our lives? Or do we need to provide them in someone else's life? It seems to me to be the case that every time we meet, someone is in need and someone else is there to provide. Often each person has some need, but as their need is being met, they are also meeting the needs of someone else. The leaders of Israel led the people, verse 27, in hymns of thanksgiving. And the two choirs, literally the thanksgiving choirs that Nehemiah set up, gave thanks. Verse 31. We must continually give thanks to God. Non-believers throughout Scripture are characterized as individuals who do not give thanks to God. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Paul described non-believers as people who knew God through the revelation and witness of creation, but neither glorified Him nor gave thanks to Him. On the other hand, Christians are commanded to give thanks. To give thanks in everything, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. It's the Spirit Himself that gives joy, Galatians 5 verse 22, as Jeff continues to share with us the fruit of the Spirit. But then there are complainers and there are worriers that quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. Give thanks to God, and give thanks to God in everything. Noticing then verse 30 of Nehemiah chapter 12, we find that the Levites purified themselves, and then they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. This purification was needed because the priests, the Levites, were going before God. They needed to be pure before approaching Him. They purified the people because the people were in the same boat. They had sins that needed to be forgiven. They had sins that needed to be dealt with, and so they needed to be purified before they came before God. But then they purified the gates and they purified the wall. Things that belong to God need to be purified. Confessing sins is part of our purification. David declared in Psalm 32, verse 2, "Blessed or happy is the man whose sins are forgiven." When sin is not confessed or turned away from, it can make a person literally sick, physically sick. David described this of himself in verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 32. But then David comes back in verse 5 to acknowledge that when you acknowledge your sin before God, He will forgive. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we who are Christians, confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Celebrate forgiveness. Celebrate the confessing of sins. Nehemiah chapter 12 verses 37 through 39 describe Israel dedicating the wall by walking around both directions. Walking around the wall. Walking around something symbolizes the claiming of it. God called Abraham to lift up his eyes, to look at all around him, at the land God was giving to him and his descendants. Then in Genesis chapter 13, verse 17, God said, "Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you." It's yours. Claim it. Later on, God told Joshua, "Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses." Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3. It was his for the claiming. At the Battle of Jericho, Joshua and Israel were instructed to walk around the city one time each day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they were to walk around the city seven times, which symbolized God giving them the city. Joshua chapter 6. God made great promises, but those promises had to be claimed. We need to know God's promises, learn of God's promises to us, and claim those promises that belong to us. After walking around the wall with the two groups going in opposite directions, as described in Nehemiah 12, verses 31 and 38, the people went into the house of God, verse 40. According to verse 43, they gave great sacrifices and rejoiced because God had given them great joy. We need to invest in the church. We need to invest in the people of God. What sacrifice have we made to be in corporate worship together? Are we investing in the people of God? Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25, reading from the English Standard Version, it says, "Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered." God will give a life of tremendous joy to those who give Him their best and give His people their best. Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 1 begins with these words, "On that day." It seems to be referring to the events of that day, the day in which they dedicated the wall to God. And if this is correct, then the dedication of the wall included the reading of Scripture and the obeying of it. We must honor the Word of God and submit to it through obedience. David taught that the Word of God revives souls, that it makes people wise, it gives joy to the heart, it gives light to the eyes, or gives one direction. Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8. So be devoted to the Word of God and reap the blessings of such devotion. The Israelites, in dedicating the wall to Jerusalem, prepared themselves to celebrate the faithfulness and goodness of God. They dedicated everything to God. They led others into a celebration of joy. They participated together in corporate worship. They gave thanks in everything. They addressed their sins by purifying themselves, maybe even confessing and acknowledging their sins. By their reading and study of God's Word, they came to know God's promises and they claimed God's promises. The people were moved to invest in the house of God and those who would meet there. And they devoted themselves to the Word of God. Praise God for seeing us through the last year. Praise God for the advances in technology, medicine, and treatment, and learning. Praise God for the joy that He gives. Praise God for bringing us together again. Praise God for new believers, stronger believers, and more thankful believers. Praise God for forgiveness and the courage to acknowledge and confess our sins. Praise God for His promises and His faithfulness to those promises. Praise God for the many opportunities that we have to invest in His people, the family of God. Praise God for the greater devotion to the Word of God that has taken place because of this pandemic. What better way can a person who is outside of Christ celebrate and praise God for what He has done than to hear His message of love? Believe Him. Repent of sin. Confess His Son Jesus and surrender His will. Surrender to His will, being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. If you're outside of Christ, why not celebrate by dedicating yourself to God? What better way can a struggling child of God celebrate and praise God for what He has done than to strengthen their relationship with Him? What better way can a Christian who has wandered away, who's fallen away during this time, what better way can they celebrate and praise God than to be restored to God today? From a wall in Jerusalem to a ball in Waverly, Tennessee, God deserves our utmost in celebrating, in dedicating our lives to Him, and in praising Him. Praise God for all that He has accomplished throughout this pandemic. Praise God for a future without that blue tape on our pews. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, He invites you.